The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Good morning. It's Donna Marie Jordy in for Greg Hughes today. It's Monday, the 13th of July, and it is an absolute belter of a day outside. If you got burnt over the weekend, please cover where you got burned. If it burns a second time, you're in for a world of pain. Get in touch with us, 086 60 25,000, on the WhatsApp or the texter, or you can give Caroline and Shannon a call on 074 91 25,000. We want to hear what matters the most to you and make sure that you can use this platform, which is here for you 5 days a week. We're going to start with the papers. I'm going to have a look at the locals here first. I'm going to look at the Donegal News. And there's a lovely tribute in here to Bonnie Tyler, who passed away last week. And it's from the Donegal bus company McGettigan's. They said she is an absolute legend, the Welsh singer who's best known for her hit Total Eclipse of the Heart and Holding Out for a Hero, died on Thursday last at the age of 75. Her family confirmed she died unexpectedly as a result of an illness she was being treated for in Portugal. But McGettigan's travel drove for Bonnie Tyler whenever she performed in Belfast just February last there this year. And they shared a lovely tribute for her, saying that they were deeply saddened to hear of her passing. And while the world knew her as the Queen of the Power Ballad, their driver Bernard was lucky enough to get to know the person behind the music. And he said that she wasn't just a global superstar, she was incredibly kind, down to earth, and a total joy to look after. And to honour her that day, they had Total Eclipse of the Heart and Holding Out for a Hero blaring on the buses, which is what you want to hear. Which is, I think, Bonnie Tyler is one of those ones, you know, whenever everyone heard that she passed away, it was a real shock. Going out to the Dairy News, and this is about data of the Western Health and Social Care Trust. And it's regarding outcomes for patients of Elton McGelvin who required emergency general surgery. And that data is being challenged. There's also concerns about the level of over-inference or optimism about the outcome measures. So speaking to the Dairy News, London-based statistician Paul Bassett said there was a lot of uncertainty around the trust figures. And in a very, very damning quote, he said it was the most egregious use of data he'd ever seen in his entire clinical life. It was said to be a poorly thought out use of metrics, and that the outcome, which was looking at the mortality itself, is poor. And there's a lack of methodological clarity about how patients were counted at a basic level. Very worrying whenever data like this here seems to be misinterpreted by the people who are meant to take a look at the raw figures and break it down so that the likes of me and you can look at it and understand what it means. So they said it was very disappointing to see that there was a lack of due diligence in relation to that data. It's easy to come up with these if you look at the most recent reports about pancreatitis, bowel obstruction and GI bleeding from the National Confidential Inquiry. So there, the Mr. Bassett's question, why is there not a bigger focus on taking progressive care measures from these reports? So that's in the Dairy News this morning. I'm going to have a look now at the Irish Times. And this is a bit of a sensitive topic, so perhaps if there's little ears, just you know what's coming now. So it's saying that violent pornography would be banned under a proposed law. So this type of material, which includes strangulation pornography, would be effectively banned under a new law that will be considered by the government. Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan is to seek cabinet approval to ban the possession or production or sharing of such materials that depicts extreme or violent acts of necrophilia. It's to go into this new act, and I can't see there being anything but positive outcomes from this. That material is there, whether we like it or not. It's easy to access, whether we like it or not. And there's lessons being learned from these types of materials. I think I can confidently say that when there is a gap in sexual education, younger people will go to the internet to try and find answers. And whenever they find this kind of material and believe that to be the answers to the questions that they have, it leads to bigger issues, which we're seeing on a daily basis of increased violence on women, on increased sexual assaults. And I'm saying women because figures show that it's disproportionately women who become the victims of these crimes. So that legislation is to be examined. Hopefully it will be brought in my opinion anyway. The whole idea of, you know, having a sexual partner and being gratified off of being degrading towards them is not a healthy behaviour. And if we can try and do anything to lessen that or to rule it out, that's a win in my book. Looking now to the Irish Independent, and there's a piece here on fuel prices. I know it's a lovely day, and this is not what you want to be hearing on a Monday morning, but here I am to bear the bad news. Petrol and diesel prices are set to rise again just as they began to fall. It's off the back of renewed attacks between the US and Iran. You know, the wholesale prices have already gone up 10 cents since these attacks have begun, and that's expected to be passed on to motorists. Now, AA Ireland just had their fuel survey out for this month, and it did show that the prices fell to an average of 173 a litre, so it's a fall of 15%. That is for diesel, sorry, and for petrol, there was a drop of 9 cents to 175 a litre, but I believe that they may be back on the rise up now if the violence is going to escalate. Also noted in here is that Electric Ireland, owned by ESB, introduced new residential electricity prices at the start of this month, including charges to its night boost tariff. It also restructured its public charging network pricing, so pay-as-you-go customers on the faster tier saw increases of 6 to 8 cents per kilowatt hour from the first of this month, so it will mean an extra 324 to 431 per charge, which is essentially making it as expensive to get petrol or diesel at the pump. And was this not the whole idea behind EVs, is that you save money on fuel? Whenever I seen this, I went on to oilprices.ie, which I have started checking more than TikTok, so I have, and it gives sort of an average price of fuel. You can break it down by county. So we had a similar kind of story during the papers whenever I was last covering Greg, which is only on Thursday, and as I had mentioned then, I was like, we're going to need to look at home heating oil and see how this is going to go. So that was the 8th, and for an average price for 500 litres in Donegal on the 8th, which is nearly a week ago, so I told a lie there, it wasn't whenever I was covering for Greg, it was €608.25 for an average of 500 litres in Ireland. Today, it is €616.59, so that's gone up around €8 in the past week, and it has been going down. I check it for work, I check it for myself to see when would be a best time to try and get a bit, because it is good weather. And you don't want to be thinking about trying to heat the house, but if now is a better time to do it. You know, you sort of, like everyone's trying to save it where they can. The Irish Daily Mail has covered the tragedy that happened in Loch Ree at the weekend, and that is the drowning of a 15-year-old boy who got into difficulty while he was swimming. His name's Martin Green. He's from Athlone, and he was in Carnacilla Point. It was 7:30 on Saturday, and like many people were, Martin was out enjoying the sunshine and near the water, in the water. We are having a conversation about water safety later on this morning. Not directly off the back of this, but you know, everyone everyone, that's what you do. You go to the beach, you go for a swim whenever it's very warm, but precautions need to be taken. Now, the circumstances of what happened with Martin, we don't know. All we know is that it's an absolute tragedy for his family, for his town, for his classmates. Emergency services attended the scene, and a spokesperson for Gardaí saying that following a search operation, a male juvenile who's 15 years old was recovered from the water a short time later. So you try and find solace where you can, and he wasn't missing for too long. So he got to get back to his family, and they were able to proceed now with the arrangements that they needed to make. So we'll be talking again about water safety a little later on this morning. And of course, our thoughts and our condolences are with the family of Martin Green. So sad, he's just 15 years old. You know, was it my nan used to always say that she hates seeing the good weather coming because then bad news came with it? And I used to think that it was a real negative way to look at things, but I think the older I get and the more that I work in current affairs, I think she might have been onto something. Going on now to the Irish Daily Mirror, and this is Conor McGregor, and he lasted just 69 seconds in his what was meant to be a big return. So he returned to the octagon for the first time since July 2021, promising an explosive performance against Max Holloway after 5 years. And this is the quote that's in there: marred by controversies and turmoil away from the cage. They're obviously referring to the civil case which he lost, and it was for a rape case against him by Nikita Hand, to which she won. So Conor McGregor said his quote, or what he shared on X, was, "My head gasket's gone, destroyed. I had no injury or injuries going into the fight." I believe what happened was seconds into the event, he suffered an injury, understood to be from an ACL, which was from the very first kick he threw, rushing at his opponent, and then he landed awkwardly, hurt his knee, and then after that there he was down. His opponent landed a few on him, and then that was it. He was done. But 69 seconds. A lot of people also reckon that this will be him out. Now, he may not be back in the ring again. And finally, looking at the Sun, there's a piece in here which I think would be easily missed, but it's about Mary O'Callaghan, and saying that she's not going to sit idly by while horrific AI generated images of her are circulated online. Whenever I had a glance at this, I remember whenever it first sort of came to, it was around 2022, I thought that it was going to be, again, sort of pornographic images of her, but it's not. It was one of her being arrested. It's not real. It's a deep fake. And she's whenever you see a picture like that where it looks like you're being arrested and you've done nothing wrong, it makes you think, oh my goodness, how can something like that be online? And, you know, Miriam, of course, presenter, journalist, that could really, really affect her career. Even in the sense that it may be known that it is AI generated and she won't necessarily lose her job over it, but if people see that and they aren't sure if it's real or not, they're not going to trust her the same way, which is integral for her doing her job. So I thought that was interesting. If you have any thoughts at all, get in touch with us. It's 086 60 25000 for text or WhatsApp, or you can give us a call on the landline on 074 91 25000. Back with more after these. Just approaching 9:20 this morning on The Greg Hughes Show, I just want to take one of your comments here in relation to Downings. The amount of young people drinking on the beach and streets in Downings over the weekend was disgraceful. All night long they were running riot all over the place. Why is it on the street drinking is being allowed just because we have good weather? There was a noticeable absence of Garda presence this weekend. Can you relate to that? I've seen a few people on social media talking about Downings, and if you have a shared experience, please do let me know. If you were in Letterkenny on Friday, you would have probably been stuck in the standstill that there was. I was leaving it and I was driving by it, so I wasn't stuck, but I seen everybody who was stuck, and it was going on out the dual carriageway out towards the roundabout for Lifford or for Derry. But I'm joined on line one now by Sinn Féin councillor Gerry McMonagle. Gerry, you are proposing that the Minister for Transport come to Letterkenny to, I suppose, see for himself. But you've raised this before with the Minister for Transport 9 years ago. Now, granted, it wasn't the same person. Gerry, what's your plans?
Good morning, Donna Marie, and good morning to all the listeners. Look, I was also sitting on the traffic jam on Friday afternoon coming back into town, and many days we are having to endure this here. And the solutions aren't new. Solutions have been there for a long number of years. I remember when I first came on to the council in 2004, bringing a motion around the Bonagie Link and the bridge over the Swilly then. We've had several motions over the years, traffic reports, all telling us what needs to be done with Letterkenny, how the road infrastructure needs to be expanded, and particularly the Lech and the One Day Hall roads in relation to creating a ring road around the town so the traffic isn't going into the bottleneck of Letterkenny town centre. And as you say, I just to come up on my memories there on Facebook, 9 years ago I met with the then Minister, Shane Ross. We talked about it then. We had a meeting with him. We actually showed him drone footage of the traffic congestion then in the town. And it's only got worse. And it's got worse because there's been no investment.
Yeah, I would like to see a side beside of that footage and footage from even Friday gone by there.
Yeah, look, and certainly that's one of the things that I'll be suggesting to our roads people again, that they take more recent drone footage, that we have that for the minister. But I think it would be better for the current minister to actually come and visit Letterkenny and see for himself the difficulties we have. The minister is also responsible. I mean, we've done a lot of work around a public bus service for Letterkenny, because there's not going to be one single road infrastructure piece that's going to change this. Bonagie Link won't be the panacea, will not. There'll be a number of things and initiatives. One of them is the town bus service. And we've done an awful lot of work around that in plotting out the routes, planning, getting the buses, how many we needed. And then we were told it was going to happen in 2025. And that was withdrawn without any explanation given. And we've been trying since to meet with the National Transport Authority. And indeed, I spoke with the current minister last October in Dublin at an event. He was aware that I had a motion in then asking him to come and visit Letterkenny. And he asked, would I hold back till January, because he was in the middle of, with his department, putting together the roadworks programme. Mm. That's understandable.
Yeah.
We're sitting here now in July and he still hasn't appeared, and he hasn't come to Letterkenny to see for himself. So if he's not going to come to us, then I feel we have to go to him and take all the information we can to him.
It might be unfair of me to say this, but this the Transport Minister is Minister Dara O'Brien, and I would make a good estimated guess that there's not an awful lot of people in Donegal that will have faith in him, because he was the Housing Minister, and I suppose just in relation to defective concrete blocks, and you know there was a lot of requests for him to come to the county at that time.
Yeah, and that's not unfair. That's a fact. That was terrible that he didn't have the courage to come here and the decency to meet and talk to people whose homes was crumbling down around them. But that's not a reason for us not to get him up here now again. Mm. Though he may think that he wouldn't be welcome. He won't be welcome, and I can understand that.
Mm.
But we have to work with the ministers of the day. They are the people that hold the purse strings. We have the plans. They're all in place. In fairness to Donegal County Council road engineers, they've been working on the One Day Hall Road, on the plan for that, on the Lech Road. And what we need is government investment. Donegal County Council hasn't got the wherewithal to build these roads. And what annoys me, Donnery, is that when I travel up and down the country, I go down through towns which are smaller than Letterkenny. Mm. They have a motorway that runs alongside their town. They more than likely have a train station. They have a ring road. And we are a town that is growing exponentially year on year, that is in many of the government's regional development plans and 2040 plan, and yet we're not getting investment necessary to meet that growth. And as a local councillor, I mean, that is so frustrating, because we get a lot of the stick, but we've been working for years on plans. We have them all there on paper, and when the missing link is the investment from the government. And that's why we need to get the minister up here. He needs to see for himself, and he urgently invest the money necessary to upgrade the Leck Road, upgrade the One Day Hall Road. Because if we are to get and be successful at 10T, and that's not guaranteed, but if we are, and I hope that we are, because we've done a lot of good work in getting it to this stage, then we need to, that on itself will not solve our traffic problem. We need to have the ring roads to tie into that, and that's along the Leck Road and the One Day Hall Road.
We have a comment in here saying, I was hoping you could bring up the subject of the new cycle lane being built beside the hospital, the new lane so wide there that there'll be no room for a turning box into St Connell's, where most of the staff park for work. It's going to cause crazy congestion come September. Most of the staff already leave for work really early just to get a parking space, as there's none after nine. Can that be changed before it's completed? This listener's wondering.
Well, look, again, this is government policy. This is where we can get money. And we also, as I say, it will not be one solution to sort out the traffic issue in Letterkenny. We do need to look at the people who don't have cars. We have to look at our children, people with disabilities, are vulnerable, and we're elderly, who in a town that is chock-a-block with cars, have great difficulty in crossing roads, getting from A to B. So when I understand those people's concerns and sometimes frustrations, what we need to be doing is putting in place that proper bus service, roads that can carry the traffic. And look, I was at the hospital recently. I had to take a relative to hospital. We couldn't get a parking space, you know. And I've raised this at the regional health forum in relation to the car parking and the availability of it. But we need to be looking at other ways and means. Like, if you think about it, Dunmurry, most of the people who live in Letterkenny, and talking about people who live in the town, most of them would live within a kilometre, a kilometre and a half from their place of work. Mm. Nobody would think of taking an hour mode of transport. Nobody would think about walking to the work. Nobody would think about getting into their friend's car, who probably lives in the same street as them. They travel to their work, and yet they're all going to the same place.
There's comments in here, Gerry. You and your Sinn Féin did vote for the active travel plan. A lot of people in here are saying that the active travel plan has really congested things and has made it worse. The cycle lanes are taking up too much space.
Yeah, and people are saying that, and they're entitled to their opinion. But see, it just wasn't Sinn Féin who voted for this.
Mm.
The majority of the councillors in the Letterkenny MD voted for this. This is government policy. This is this current government's policy, Fianna Fáil policy. This is where the money was. This is what is making future-proofing the town of Letterkenny for people, as an outline, to allow our children to be able to walk to school or cycle as they wish. You know, to allow our elderly people to be able to go from their home down to the shop or across to the town parks and all in a safe manner. You know, allowing people with disabilities who are wheelchair users, et cetera, to be able to travel on footpaths that are fit for purpose. You know,
we have a commenter in asking
this. This is a very car dominated society, and we need to at times move away from that. If you take all that congestion,
yes,
and what it's doing even to the environment and to people's health, having to walk alongside that all the time.
There's a commenter wondering, Councillor, will you avail of those whenever they're complete?
Look, Donna, I cycled for many, many years.
Mm.
And I walk regularly.
Yeah.
I'm nearly 70 years of age now. Probably in my days I've been on a bike, but I might, and I have considered an electric bike. You know, but the point is this, if it's the facilities and the infrastructure isn't there, then I'm not going to do it, and neither is anybody else. And I'll say this, and then you look around, when do you ever see a young person now? When we were all growing up, we all had bikes. When do we ever see young people now going out and enjoying their bike? Because there's nowhere safe for them to do it in Letterkenny.
Yeah.
And we need to think about that.
Yeah, and that is true. That's because that's what the, I suppose, the other hand on the argument will be, is that why should they go out if the infrastructure is not there? It does just, it seems like a catch 21. Is that the right phrase? Where, you know, this would help the problem, but
it
also seems
that, and damned if you don't,
and that the lanes are, though they seem to, that they are causing their, do they need to be that wide? Do the footpaths, the how wide they are, do they, is that,
well,
the extreme that they need to be?
Apparently that's the regulations. But what I'd say in that too, but don't we? And this, we had only one lane coming in to Letterkenny, one lane going out. You know, if you're coming on the mountaintop, there was always just one lane going in, one lane coming out. Now, when people come out the arguments about right-hand turning lanes and all of that, the traffic's moving. It's the volume of traffic. Last weekend, as we had every year, and thankfully we do, was a massive exodus from the north around the 12th. And every bank holiday, they head to the tourist attractions that we have in the county. And that's all the way around from Rathmullen all the way around to West Donegal. And they flock there. And it's great that they do come because, you know, they're spending money in there. They're helping local businesses in their areas. And until we get the town of Letterkenny, until we get the road infrastructure in place, we are going to have this problem continuously because we have one major bridge, and that's the Port Bridge. And we have no other major roads or bypasses that would take traffic around the town and onto either the West Donegal or North Donegal. So that's why it's important that we get the minister up here. That's why important we get him to see for himself what the difficulties are. But more importantly, we have to get him to listen to purse strings. We have to get him to give the money necessary for a town that's in the regional development plan of his government and is in the 2040 plan of his government. So why are we a town that has grown exponentially year on year? We look at the growth of the A2U, the businesses, foreign direct investors, and yet we're expected to get around and do our business on the same amount of rules that we had 25 years ago.
Well, Councillor McMonagall, thank you very much for your time on it this morning. That motion,
you,
it'll
Jean
be
Marie.
Tomorrow morning. It'll be
found yet.
Perfect. And we'll hear more. I'm sure our newsroom will follow up on it. That's Councillor Gerry McMonagall there of Sinn Féin. Just take some of your comments before we go to a break. There's no point in the minister coming to Letterkenny on a Monday or Tuesday morning. He needs to come on a Friday from 2 o'clock onwards. Try living on the Leck Road where you're blocked in your own home. It took my daughter 1 hour and 15 minutes to collect her children. A ring road is needed in Letterkenny and that will take a long time to come. So they're agreeing with Councillor McMonagall there. Councillor McMonagall says a lack of infrastructure investment is causing traffic problems in Letterkenny. What about the ridiculous cycle lanes? Morning Highland Radio team, Gerry and his party voted to take away a lane from the traffic at Ballyrain for cyclists and widen it. So widen the footpaths, plus the same at the hospital roundabout. So shame on you for making the situation worse in Letterkenny. And we should be delighted that people are shopping and visiting Letterkenny. Bypasses do nothing but kill towns. Be careful what you wish for. Have more of your say on that on 08660 25000. There's a comment in here by Orange Order Parade saying it's no wonder people feel intimidated. Why call them demonstrations? The use of the word demonstrations implies that something's being done against the will of others. If they're family-friendly events, it's time to change the use of their words. And it does, it always comes down to semantics. So maybe something like that, you know, would make a difference. Now, I have joined by Councillor Dennis McGee, and it's in relation to toilets in Maharaurorty. They were left in a terrible state. Councillor McGee, I saw the video that you had up, and it was a tough watch, to say the least.
Yeah, how you getting on, Donna? Listen, you know, the first thing to say, I don't want to be coming on here, you know, with talking about toilets. I'd rather be coming on saying, you know, that we're getting extra funding and the government is looking after us and stuff like this here. But when I do visit the toilets, and which I do, I try and kind of keep an eye on them as much as I can. Like, but last night when I went down, and we had a massive weekend because of the Innisboffin Festival, and then there was different things going on in Tory Island as well, and then with the good weather, there was a lot of people about. So you can expect a big volume of people, like, you know. But when I see the condition people can leave the toilets, and it's just simply not acceptable.
It
shows a real lack of disrespect, you know, for our community and for the people who work. You know, we've worked hard to get these toilets, and public money has gone into these toilets. Now, they're not state-of-the-art toilets, but what we have, we want to keep them. And we want people to respect them. Like, if you go in, like, and you shove nappies and everything down the toilet, there's something seriously missing. Yeah. There's something wrong there. Like,
there's, but this kind of went beyond that. The toilet was left messy. The seat was broken. Was that what was on the ground, or was it a handle for disabled people to use to try and get themselves on and off the loo?
Everything was on the ground, Donna. Like, you know, the we don't have perfect facilities, right? We don't have. We need a proper, changing places, toilets with loads of cubicles, urinals, and everything. Like, you know, I don't want to go down the route that we have to put CCTV outside the toilet to watch who goes in and out. I think that's going too far.
Yeah.
But I just, for the life of me, can't understand how, if you go in and maybe the toilet is, well, you just walk away, like, you know, like, you have to go in and break the seat and pull all the bins apart and throw everything around, like, and throw your nappies down the toilet. Like, it's not good.
It's, the Glenties MD had their meeting there last week. I was down reporting at it, and we were speaking at it. But there was motions put forward looking for toilets at Muckish. Will this, in a situation like this, jeopardise future amenities?
Well, I don't want this to jeopardise any future amenities. Like, you know, we need all the amenities we can get. Like, you know, but just because some person or persons decide to, you know, vandalise it, like, the greater community then shouldn't suffer because of that there. I don't want this here to be used as an excuse. Absolutely not. Like, you know, we want the same as what they have done all the Western Seaboard. Like, you know, we want proper facilities to access the islands. We want proper facilities for parking. We want proper amenities like cafes and all the rest of it, and public toilets, like, you know, that people can use, whether that be at Errigal, Muckish, Gidor, Bunbeg, the Rosses, Falkara, wherever. We need the same level playing field as everybody else. Like,
Councillor McGee, is there who's responsible for looking after that? You know, it was busier this weekend than it would usually be, and if people were putting the likes of nappies down the toilet, was there enough bins there? Was there enough people there to sort of maintain the toilets? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. Like, you know, but it's not for nappies. Like, you know, if somebody thinks that the toilet is for nappies, like, you know, they're not. Like, so I need to stress that. Like, the toilet is not for disposing of a nappy. Put the nappy in a plastic bag. Take it with you whenever you get back to your house. Get rid of it some other responsible way. Like, as far as maintenance is concerned, like, you know, we're trying to work with somebody to keep the toilet. I mean, I was there 2 hours last night trying to just make it respectable, like, you know, which I unfortunately couldn't get it back to being respectable. But no, we can't be there all the time to just kind of babysit everybody that goes in. Like, so it just comes down to just having a little bit of respect, like, you know. So I don't want to be kind of going on about, I want to be promoting the good things that happened around the Gaeltacht and the islands. And we had a fantastic weekend in Isboffin. Like, I mean, the crowds were unreal, like, you know. So, like, we have to promote the good stuff, like, you know, but we cannot just pretend that this doesn't happen either.
No. Well, Councillor Dennis McGee, that's of the 100% Redress Party. Thank you for joining us this morning there. That was Councillor McGee. Just another comment in relation to beaches. Good morning. Would you please mind reminding people visiting our beautiful Donegal beaches in the good weather to please bring their rubbish home? I walked my dog on Port Salon Beach this morning, and it broke my heart to see the state that our beach was left in after the sunny weekend. Rubbish everywhere. Clothes, towels, shoes, chairs, buckets and spades strewn around the beach. If you can bring it to the beach, you can also bring it home. Please don't spoil our beautiful beach. The likes of clothes and towels and chairs, that is just, I'd say, taking the mick a wee bit there. So it is definitely, you know, everyone can, it's like they said, if you can bring it in, if you bring it with you, you can certainly bring it home with you as well. And I think in relation to the toilets there that Councillor McGee was on, we've all at some point, or if it hasn't happened yet, I can guarantee you it will happen to you at some point, where you're out on a walk or you're out with your child somewhere and all of a sudden they need to pee, and they will not tell you until they are really bursting. And whenever you go to a bathroom and it's in that state, it's a really, really tough spot to be in. Joined now on Zoom by Brendan Devaney. Brendan, how are we this week?
I'm the best, Anna, yourself?
I'm all good. So I am. Now, DL Debate, we're back this week with another packed hour of local and national analysis. What's coming up?
Yeah, listen, loads on. Obviously, we're going to review Donegal's defeat in under-20 All-Ireland final. Listen, still amazing to get there. You know, Paul Gillespie, Desi McNamara, joint managers, had Desi on last week. So Maureen O'Donnell's going to run across that game for us, and then we're going to look across the All-Ireland series there. Obviously, Oisín McConville's given us a few words on his famous Tailteann Cup one. Johnny Carlin, Donegal man, was in his squad. Paul Durkin's going to be on, ex-2012 goalkeeper. He was part of the Mayo backroom team. Owen Mulligan, former Tyrone star, is on the show as well, along with Jason Byrne, who's the sports editor with The Sun. So, yeah, listen, I'm going to get points of view and different aspects and, I suppose, angles that the boys thought of the three games at the weekend.
It's great. I'm going to focus on the ladies All-Ireland football. It's great to see an emphasis on the ladies football. Just a lot of people would have been, I suppose, this is the soccer, but disappointed with Norway's loss. But we're talking, oh, well, the ladies World Cup's coming up, but women's sports, like, it's great that it's getting such a focus on the DL debate, because generally speaking, it doesn't elsewhere.
Yeah, well, do you know what it is, as a GAA, as an organisation, it's very important that we don't just highlight kind of the elite. Obviously, that's what drives a lot of it, and it's what the TV and the country's interested in. But when you go down the levels here into the clubs and that, everybody, the reason the GAA is so special, that everybody is one. We're all part of the organisation. There's not supposed to be any tiers in that at all. So it's very important that you are always promoting everybody who's trying, because in that squad, say in that Donegal under-20 squad, the effort that they're putting in, the times, the miles, is the same from their squads doing to every other squad. And it doesn't matter what level that at. And it doesn't matter even, say, Camogie's kicked off again properly in Donegal. So you've got that, obviously, and then the ladies' football. And then I say the different club levels right up into the scene there as well. So it's important that everybody kind of gets that bit of highlight and a bit of promotion, because it's only by promoting it then that you'll kind of, I suppose, encourage other people to get involved, and that it's important, importance goes up, and it's very important to say for young people, and particularly like these girls, to experience like this. So it's been a brilliant trip for them to be on. Sure, they came up short in the final, but still they would have some memories from the campaign.
Aye, together. Had you any highlights over the weekend?
Yeah, listen, it was a great couple of days in Dublin. I was kind of missing the Donegal coastline and the heat of Dublin there. Now, it was still absolutely beautiful. But the comeback of Wicklow, fair play to Oisín, joined us yesterday in our coverage of the second semi-final. I was surprised he made it, because they had a big night in Wicklow, but he still come up and done his stuff. So their comeback now, Wicklow have been a comeback team. They've done that in so many games, but they looked dead and buried at halftime in this game. So that was one of the greatest things I'd seen in a long time. Unfortunately for Louth, there was so much of a build-up going into the game, particularly after how they played against Monaghan. They just never got to the levels at all of that. And that semi-final, and again, for us people trying to, like, I do plenty of preview shows and that, for us trying to figure this game, we thought it was going to come down the stretch, tight, could go time. It ended up being a hammering. So you just don't know in games. And now Mayo, of course, they always play well in semi-finals. Sorry to my Mayo friends. It's the finals that's the problem. Now, that said, they obviously were coming up against usually the greatest Dublin team ever, and a couple of decent Kerry teams. But again, now they've made a final, and it's Kerry as well. And listen, the Dublin story has been remarkable, their turnaround. And in some ways, Donnery, it's kind of changed my mindset a wee bit about the Donegal defeat to Dublin, because Donegal were a serious favourite, but we've seen that there's a lot more in that Dublin team than we had seen in the earlier rounds, and they actually are a good side. So it's kind of made me think twice a wee bit about our defeat to them, the one that knocked us out after extra time.
Well, very interesting. That is the DL debate this evening after the 7 o'clock news, Brendan. Thank you very much. Oh, well, today will be another dry, very warm and sunny day with highest temperatures of 24 to 29 degrees. So make sure that you have the sun cream on. Again, I said it at the start of the show, if you got burnt, I'm thinking of it because I burnt my shoulders. I missed a bit with the sun cream, so I've on a long sort of t-shirt today. So just put it on because you need to protect your skin. In Ireland, I don't know if it's just a case that we don't see the sun enough that whenever it comes, we get too excited. But I want to take some of your comments here now just before we have the news at 10 o'clock. And it says, I can't believe someone threw their two bags of rubbish on the gap in Terman. Many of these items are recyclable. You may have had a fantastic weekend in Donegal, but to throw your rubbish out the car window on the way home is disgraceful. I have a real bugbear. I think like littering in general is bad, but see whenever somebody throws it out the window, it's dangerous on so many levels. If the car behind you gets rubbish on their windscreen and they can't see, that's just a hazard. I want to give this a mention though, because we are talking about keeping the place tidy, keeping beaches tidy, and we had Dennis on there about the bathrooms. Glenties Town team are having a meeting today at 7 o'clock in the community centre in Glenties. It's as they continue their work on the town centre first plan and get ready to launch and finalise the plan. There's also an update on preparations and ongoing works for this year's Tidy Towns, and they'd love to see more people getting involved. So that's whether you're part of a local club, a business, an organisation, community group, or just an individual who cares about Glenties. So ideas, input, support's always welcomed, and the more people involved, the stronger the community becomes. Tidy Towns, they are the backbones of community, so there they'll always know if you ever are stuck. They'll always know somebody who will be able to help you out. In relation to the Orange Order, Orange marches are anti-Catholic, anti-migrant, bonfires, setting fire to people's homes. We know all about Orange marches. There seems to be like two sides of this. Some of the bonfires, as we saw, the one that had the mosque on it, some of them are quite sectarian. But the likes of the day that was in Rosslyn, that seemed, from the photos I've seen, that seemed to be a lovely day out. There were people had their children with them. You know, I think it's like everything. There is a scale of extremity. So there is, I think, for the most part, the parades are a parade, and you know, you could bring your children to them. Toilets. I was down at the amusements in Redcastle with my husband and four grandchildren. One child had to go to the toilets and the toilets were sparkling. Lovely. It's wild to hear about the toilets in Maharorty. I have to say, fair play to Redcastle amusements. They were so clean. There was lots of people around. They're very clean and well kept. And that's brilliant to hear, because there is nothing worse than whenever you get caught out and you have a little one who really needs to go and there's nowhere for them to do it. People from Northern Ireland, there was a comment made about Northern Irish people being good for the county. I disagree. Oh, this was Councillor McMonagall, I think, on about the traffic. People who were coming in from Northern Ireland for the weekend that was in it, they would rather be elsewhere. I disagree. They come with boots full of food and they have their holiday homes. I think that they're no benefit to Donegal whatsoever. They're leaving the rubbish behind and dumping their sewage from their camper vans. I think the Ukrainian people bring far more into our country, at least if they're working, they pay taxes. There would be taxes paid on holiday homes and all, etc. as well. And I think a lot of people who have holiday homes, they'll spend a good part of the summer here, and you know, you're not going to be able to keep frozen stuff in the boot. You know, I understand what you're saying. That you know, if they're bringing stuff from across the border, it's not a benefit. But if you have a holiday home, realistically, you're going to spend a good part of your summer in it. And with that, inevitably comes with having to run to the shops. God, you never remember everything. We have comments here on the stream. Beth McDade saying, good morning, everyone. We have comments on the YouTube saying that the toilets are important, that there's wet wipes and flushable napkins. I'm disappointed in Donegal's point of view about beach waste. Oh, that's in the people leaving their stuff on the beach. On to the traffic now. Councillor McMonagall can talk about a lack of investment. Look at the state of the town after the latest works. They've narrowed roundabouts at Thomas Keys to one lane, possibly the busiest road in the town every day from 4 o'clock. It's sheer madness. Just because money was available doesn't mean it's sensible to take it. It's not safe to walk in Letterkenny, never mind cycle. The roads planning in this county is disgraceful. So much water ground on these roads and nowhere for emergency services. I witnessed an ambulance with sirens and blue lights stuck behind two rows of traffic on the road from the Clanree to Letterkenny on Saturday evening. And look at the mess up the hospital roundabout where lorry or bus can't get around. All we hear is cycle lanes. Unfortunately, we need cars, buses and lorries. And that is a fair point that, you know, it's very hard to be in Donegal and to not drive. And I actually was at rally weekend, had seen an ambulance had gotten stuck, and it's difficult. So it is. And it's hard to know what the solution is, because I think what Councillor McMonagall said whenever he says, you know, the Bonagie Link's not going to be the thing that suddenly fixes the traffic in Letterkenny. It's one of those things where if you think about it too hard, you'll hurt your head. Somebody's going to die because an emergency service can't get to the hospital because of the horrendous road planning. The population's increased dramatically in this country. We need roads to cope with traffic. It's not all about bicycles. One then said that... Jerry said that most people's journeys are 1 kilometre to 1.5 kilometres. Most people in the town are age 70 and above, like himself, and all the young people live on the outskirts of town. Interesting take, actually. You know, it's, I think that's fair enough. A lot of the people who are younger and trying to get into the town can't because of rent or cannot buy a house in here. This takes us right up to news. We'll be back after that. Now, it is just after 10 o'clock here on Highland Radio, and I want to wish Mrs. Eileen McDevitt in Lifford, who celebrated her 106th birthday at the weekend, a very, very happy birthday. We hope that you had a fabulous day, and she received a letter from President Catherine Conley together with a commemorative gift. Eileen, I would love, love, love to know your secrets to a long and very happy life. Now, we flagged at the top of the show that we'd be talking about water safety. And I'm joined now by Finn Mullen, Water Safety Education Manager with Bundoran Orna Life. Finn, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having us on this morning.
Thank you for joining us. Now, we spoke at the top of the show, there's been a lot of call-outs this weekend, and there was a tragedy down the country where we saw a 15-year-old boy who lost his life in the water. Obviously, that is something that we want to try and avoid now moving forward. So I suppose just as the temperature rises, people are going to go near the water. What can they do to best be equipped?
So we do want people to enjoy the water, and we're very lucky in Donegal that we have a lot of lifeguarded beaches. And simply the easiest way to always stay safe when you want to cool off for that swim is if you go to a lifeguarded beach between the patrolled hours, you know that the lifeguards are going to keep you safe if you swim between the red and yellow flags. And if you want to see what beaches, not only in Donegal, but around the country are lifeguarded, if you go to watersafety.ie/lifeguards, it'll give you a breakdown by county. And then you can look and see what days, times, what locations are patrolled. And that's just a really easy bit of advice that people can follow. Now, if you don't go to a lifeguarded beach, you really, really have to be cautious. Look around for any signage that might indicate some dangers, but you've got to be especially careful about checking the weather and the tides. And of course, in Donegal, we not only have the weather that's always changing from our beautiful Atlantic on our shores, and with that, we do get surf as well. So you need to be checking the weather forecast, the surf forecast, the tide times, looking at any local information that might be displayed in signage that would be warning your dangers. But we really do want people to go to a lifeguarded beach. That's just a really simple way. And remember, we have Northern Ireland very close on our shores. We know that some people visit the lifeguarded beaches there. And the RNLI provides the lifeguard service in Northern Ireland. And again, if you go on our website, rnli.org/lifeguarded beaches, you'll see all the patrol areas and patrol times.
And the lifeguards are there from 11 in the morning to 7 in the evening. So that's a good long stretch of the day. In terms of weather, though, there is easterly winds forecast. So if you're on the Donegal or down the west coast of Ireland, that's going to push you out towards sea rather than inland.
Yeah, it's always very important to realise that whenever we have good weather as we're enjoying right now, there may be other things at play. We know that our sea temperatures, our rivers, our lakes, they're cold. That's a hazard in itself. When we encourage people to always float to live if they find themselves in trouble. But again, whenever we say about checking the weather, we don't want you to just check whether it's going to be sunny or not. You really need to look at that wind strength and that wind direction, because that can push you offshore. For instance, if you're on a west facing stretch of water or beach and there's easterly winds forecast like there is at the minute, that can blow you offshore. And if you're paddle boarding, canoeing, kayaking, we don't want people bringing any inflatable toys to open water because the wind or the current can take them offshore. So it's really just about recognizing that only a small amount of wind can cause people to get into trouble. So it's the barrier, as it were, is a threshold, is a force four. And a force 4 is 13 miles an hour, 20 kilometres an hour. So it's not actually that much. If you imagine putting a piece of paper down on a table in front of you and you blowing with your breath to try and move that piece of paper, that's what a force 4 is like. And a force 4 can blow a paddleboarder a mile offshore in 30 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Much further than what someone can swim back to shore with.
Yeah.
And I would urge people, if they do see someone drifting offshore, and it may be a friend, a loved one, resist that urge to jump in and swim after them, because you're never going to be able to swim faster than that craft is being blown offshore. Immediately call 999 or 112 and ask for the Coast Guard. And then keep an eye on them by all means, but please don't try and swim after them if they're getting blown offshore.
And it's like you said, float to live. So to lie on your back and to try and regulate your breathing will be if you do find yourself in difficulty. There's also higher tides expected next week.
Yeah, on this week, we're going to have higher tides than normal all week because we have a new moon tomorrow. And in periods of new moons or full moons, we get slightly higher high tides and slightly lower low tides. Spring tides, it's nothing to do with the season, is what they're known as. But it's just to be aware that tidal cutoff is a significant risk factor around the coast. We have a large number of call-outs due to people getting cut off by the tide. So what it can look like is somebody goes down to the beach, goes for a walk, or goes to explore an outstretch of rocks or a bit of an island, and as they turn to come back, they find that the tide has covered their pathway, the beach. And always the most dangerous time in the tides is mid-tide. That is when the tide is flowing at its fastest, and that's the one where we see people get caught out. So for instance, they go down at mid-tide and they think there's loads of beach to go for their walk, or park their car sometimes on the beach, and then they turn around and come back, and because it's flowing at its fastest at mid-tide, that tide's flooded in behind them. And we'll have significant higher tides than usual, so it'll be coming up much further. So let's say you are used to going down to your beach and the tide doesn't come up to the rocks, then it might be coming right over the rocks. So yeah, just it's always a good practice to check the weather and the tides before you head to the coast. The great advantage about going to a lifeguarded beach is they'll have all that information there, and they'll be looking after you the whole time, so you're not going to get in trouble.
Perfect. That's Finn Mullen, their water education manager with Bundoran RNLI. Thank you very much for that. Now, on the other line, I have Jerry Early, who's operations manager with Arnmore RNLI. And Jerry, you have some, I suppose, just an appeal in relation to jet skis.
Yeah. Good morning, Dan Marie, and all your listeners. Yes, you know, and I have to say, first off, you know, it's not all jet skis. Most people are very, very conscious and respectful of the waters. And I suppose this would apply to all, you know, power boats. But I've just, you know, it's been raised at the weekend, you know, some jet skiers coming into shallow water where people are swimming at high speeds. And it's very off-putting for everybody, you know, because these jet skis can fly around the place. They've got, you know, very powerful engines, noisy. And it puts people at a discomfort. And I just think, you know, I'm urging all those, you know, that are using jet skis or powerboats to be very conscious of their surroundings. You know, that people are swimming, pier jumping, and, you know, in this good weather. Everybody wants to take advantage of the sea, and I totally encourage that. You know, as Finn says, you know, be safe, be seen. So yeah, it's just, you know, and sometimes, Don Marie, just a quiet word will suffice, you know, with these people. And, you know, once they're made aware of it, you know, it tends to
excitement can sometimes take over,
you know?
Excitement can sometimes take over, and a word will sort of bring that to their attention, and they'll, you'd think more than likely they might be a little bit mortified and be like, oh, right, okay, sorry. And then that will be that sorted.
Yeah, I find that a quiet word with, you know, with anybody that, and that's just, you know, an awareness thing. You know, a lot of these, a lot of the jet skiers, you know, I'm not suggesting that they're all young, but, you know, younger people that probably wouldn't have the same experience or maybe awareness of the water. And I totally encourage them to get out in the water, absolutely. But just to be very aware where people are swimming. And even, you know, if they stay in deeper water, you always have to be aware that maybe stronger swimmers will, you know, swim offshore. So it's just to be, you know, a little bit slower, a little bit more careful. And, you know, it's a shared space. And you know, the last thing we want in the RNLI is to get called out. Actually, you know, I mean, with the good weather and more people using the water, it just heightens our alertness, you know.
And a lot of people mightn't realise either. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that, you know, when stuff goes wrong on the water, it goes wrong very quickly. And, you know, as Finn said, you know, just be aware of where you're at, you know, absolutely without swimming, you know, be sure you're hydrated. It's all these little small things. But again, you know, it's just to prick people's consciousness that, you know, to be safe.
People mightn't realise that the RNLI crews are voluntary as well. So you'll need to get people to base before they can launch. So, you know, just for people to bear that in mind.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that's what we do. You know, that's never a consideration. It's just, I suppose, Don Marie, is, you know, there's so many people using the water, and that's fantastic. And weather like this, you know, where would you want to be other than Donegal or anywhere in the country?
Yeah.
But again, you know, the last thing we want is to get called to you know, an incident where, you know, people's lives are put at risk. Just for the want of, you know, a little bit more consideration, a little bit more care.
That's Jerry Early there, Operations Manager with Arnmore RNLI. Thank you very much, Jerry. And we had Finn Mullen as well. Now, Bingo's up next. This is The Greg Hughes Show, and I am joined in studio by Emma Doherty, the Regional Chairperson of Donegal Active Retirement for the North West Region. Emma, thank you very much for joining me in studio. I always love a wee in studio chat. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. Now, you are the chairperson of a group who is calling on people who are retired or semi-retired to get out once a month, and it's a social thing, so it is.
Yes, we encourage people to get out more than once a month. My own group in Milford meets once a month, but we have weekly events continuously.
Oh, brilliant.
So we have walks, curling, gym sessions, and then every other week we do a longer walk plus a coffee morning.
That is lovely. Now, I had went to a similar sort of thing that was for There was no really age on it, but I just, whenever I went there, it was a lot of girls, I'd say, in their early 20s. And I was thinking, I was like, oh, this would be lovely. Because it was a beach walk and a coffee. I was like, it'd be lovely if there was something that's here for older people, because the older you get, the harder it is to make friends and to get out and socialise.
Yeah, you know, when you retire, you move from your work family, and a lot of people are on their own. Their family has moved away. They may have had bereavement, or they just may be simply on their own. Mm. So it's a good way to connect with the community, to go out and socialise and not be on your own.
And so you said there's curling, there's walking. I suppose people might be thinking, oh God, I've never done curling, or gee, I haven't been to the gym in years, or I've never been in the gym. And it might be a bit daunting.
It is, but it's all great fun. We do the curling. There is a league, but my group in Milford doesn't enter the league because it's too much fun. You have to have a hard skin for the insults because you be on the goal for about 5 minutes. I always say you be queen for 5 minutes and then you're knocked off by your opponent.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you also do, like trips away.
Yes, this year we've been to Wicklow and we do day trips out. Mm. We've had, on Wednesday, we're going to Enniskillen for a day. We've been to Mount Stuart's house and we went on a mystery tour, and we only called it a mystery tour because I have no sense of direction.
You said a bit like myself.
So they were just taking a hand at me.
Surprise for everyone.
It was, especially me, because I hadn't a clue.
So the group is non-denominational, non-political. This is for everyone. Is it for women only?
No. Both men and women. Whatever creed, class, we don't mind. Just come along, enjoy yourself.
How did this come about?
Active Retirement Ireland has been in existence for almost 50 years. Mm. And it is to encourage people to stay active in their communities and to encourage people that are on their own. As you know, Donegal is a very big rural county and there is quite a lot of isolation out there and people don't realise it. You know, gone are the days when people would pop in and have a cup of tea with you.
Oh, you wouldn't dream of landing on somebody unannounced. It'd be seen as bad manners.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, if we organise a coffee morning, people turn up. They don't have to come every time the coffee morning is in. It's good that we allow people to drop in, drop out, because people do have other family commitments with grandchildren at this stage.
Yeah, and things come up unexpectedly.
Well, that's 100%.
How did you get involved, Emma, yourself?
I actually heard somebody else many years ago talking on Highland Radio. No way. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So I pursued and got involved. And then I had been talking about it in Milford and the people were saying to me, oh, you should start a group in Milford. So I thought, well, do you know what? Why not? And you can only but give it a try.
That's it. And so, how many's in the Milford group now?
Approximately 60.
Brilliant.
So everybody can dip in and dip out to the events that we have on.
Yeah.
Like the gym sessions don't suit everybody. Yeah. The walk. And well, we try and have a walk that's sort of more on the level on a Monday, and on a Wednesday when it's our walk day, we do sort of more strenuous walk or a longer walk.
And it's funny, the difference of having a social interaction and being out in the fresh air, how good it is for your health and for your mental health as well.
Absolutely, 100%. Like, we have a social prescriber in Milford and she's always encouraging people to come. Mm. And even the doctor's surgery have referred people to us. It does do your mental health extreme good.
So good. Now, you said that you were at one point at home and it was an interview like this here that you had heard. I suppose, what was life for you like then compared to after?
I was actually still working at that time, and I thought, that sounds really, really interesting. Mm. And I thought, you know, obviously everybody retires at some stage, and I thought, I must research into that. Mm. So with a lot of research. I've got the number at Dublin. There's a national office in Dublin. So I made inquiries there and found out more about it. And it did sound really attractive to me.
And Emma, you strike me as the kind of person who doesn't do well with idle hands if you were already planning your retirement before you were finished working. But it can be so hard if you are, you know, the person who's at work, who everyone goes to, who answers the questions, to then having all of this time in your hands. It must be just absurd.
It is weird, I think, because initially you enjoy it because you think, oh, right, I don't have to get up early. I don't have to rush. I can linger over my morning coffee. But the novelty soon wears off. And it gives people that don't have family around them a focus so that they know, okay, today I'm going to the coffee morning. Tomorrow I'm going curling.
Yeah.
And it gives them a social interaction.
Have you made friends in this that you wouldn't have known otherwise?
Yes, indeed. I have a lot of different people. And even with the regional group, I have, you know, met different people. And even nationally, like to meet the May Quaid as the national president. And I've met the CEO, Fran Brennan, who's just new a year into the job. So there's lots of different interaction up and down the country.
I just thought I'd have a look here. So you're also campaigning to get a free shingles vaccination.
Yes, that's the national team are campaigning for that. The shingles vaccine costs 450 to 500 euros. In the rest parts of the EU, it's free. In the UK, it's free. So the national team are campaigning to get that over the line. There is a petition on the Active Retirement Ireland website. So we encourage people to sign that petition for us.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as you said, they're in the UK, so it's in Northern Ireland. It's
crazy.
Just to think that if you cross the bridge or cross over to the other side of the road that you could be getting for free, because the pensions like that won't stretch. It's not fair for a lot of people.
And then Alison Bowe, she's a Active Retirement Ireland advocate. She's advocating for, you know, we put petitions forward for pre-budget submissions for an increase in the pensions, living alone allowance, fuel allowance and that. So there is a lot of national campaigning goes on as well.
You know what, though, I just say even the groups that meeting up together for people who would be worrying about their fuel allowance and things like that, they're hearing other people saying that as well. So just knowing that you haven't worked your whole life and now not be able to afford things, just being able to share the burden.
Absolutely. It's good to, you know, to meet people and hear that you're not alone, you know, that there's people that are struggling and that.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and we have all sorts of people. We have rich, poor, in between.
I'd say the background, I'd say you'd have some amount of, I suppose, expertise in there as well. You'll have people from such different careers that they did do in the past.
Yes, it is. It's very interesting. And it's great to hear about people's story, you know, and we don't pressure anybody to tell us their story. If they want to share, they go ahead and share. But we have people from all walks of life.
Fantastic. I suppose, Emma, then, if you could reach out now through the radio to the person who's sitting listening just like you were whenever you first heard this, what would you say?
Come along, give us a try. And if there's any areas out there, the Neshoan Peninsula and Fannet Peninsula, I think we're lone groups there. So if you think, should I start one? Go ahead, give it a try. We'll have a wonderful regional development officer, Kevin Monaghan, who will help you every way. And any of the other groups that are established will also reach out and help.
That's Emma Doherty, Regional Chairperson of Donegal Active Retirement for the North West Region. Emma, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, that was Emma in there from the Donegal Active Retirement for the North West Region. I had mentioned at the start I went to a similar event in Downings, was it 2 weeks ago? And it was brilliant. We went and it was called Beats and Breakfast. And we went for, everyone got there. There was a running group and a walking group. And me and the girls went in the walking group. We went for a walk on Downings Beach. We came back up then. We got a coffee. And it was a really nice way to mingle with everyone. So it was. And to get, I suppose, meet new people. It's hard to make friends. I want to just have a look at the comments here in relation to traffic. A few more have come in. I want to make sure I get to them all. This one says, Councillor McMonagall and Sinn Féin councillors voted in favour of cutting down the beautiful oak tree in Ballyrain in favour of cycle lanes through the town, which is narrowing the roads and is also causing the traffic build-up. Thankfully, that tree was... later was a cut down in the end. Councillor McMonagall referred to taking the funds for active travel plan because it was the only funding available, and then blames the government for cycle lanes and the scheme that it brought. He also says government can't expect Letter County to progress economically with the same infrastructure 25 years ago. The fact that the council has reduced the roads infrastructure in Letter County is significantly, or Letter County significantly, by applying for the active travel plan and funding and implementing that plan. It's led to exponential increase in traffic congestion and health and safety issues by obstructing emergency vehicles that previously had two lanes available onto the main route in and out of the town. He also contradicted himself by active travel measures will help older people get about, but then says he won't cycle because he's nearly 70. That's the level of logic and forward planning we have in the council. It's ridiculous. There's a bit of me that understands that by having more lanes for bikes and for people to walk, that it will, should in theory, take cars off the road. You know, if you go and you visit the likes of, I think, European cities where they are mostly cycling, that it does make a difference. I don't know if the schemes that we're doing now will, if it will help achieve that same level of pedestrianisation. But then on the other hand, if we don't start here, what is the way forward? So, you know, it's difficult. It's hard to know. Sometimes it feels like the Letterkenny's, you know, that far through. It's hard to know where to start to fix it. Now, this morning I had a conversation with Councillor Martin Farn, and it was in relation to cars that were parked illegally at Shrove Beach, and it stopped local link services from being able to get through. And in the end, they were cancelled yesterday. So I'm going to play out that conversation and we can get your thoughts on it after. So it's Councillor Martin Farn, he's a Labour councillor, and Cathaoirleac of the Inishowen MD, and it's in relation to cars at Shrove Beach.
Good morning, Donna Marie. Yes, this has been the first big test really of the summer at the beach, and regarding the double yellow lines, and we put them down there just a few weeks ago, and I suppose it's fair to say that it's sort of failed miserably. People, I'd asked the motorist to respect the double yellow lines. I would have spoken on Highland Radio in relation to this matter, but unfortunately that has not been the case. You know, and in my opinion, you know, that is very disrespectful to both the local authority who went and put those double yellow lines down there for a reason, and also to the Gardaí. And they were put down there because of health and safety reasons. So that if something were to happen on the beach, which hopefully you'd hope to think that wouldn't be the case, but if it were to happen, that there would be clear access to the beach so as the emergency services could deal with an issue if that were to happen. Now, my understanding is from yesterday that the people just did not respect the double yellow lines, just decided to carry on parking in the normal manner, just basically abandoning their cars, is from what I've heard. And, I'm very sad that that has happened. We're into this very good weather now, and I'm sure there'll be a number of people going to the beach again today. Is the same thing going to happen again today? Are people going to be disrespectful again and just abandon their cars? I don't know. Time will tell.
Now, there was two routes of the local link cancelled, the 957 and the 953. There obviously would have been people depending on that route.
Yeah, local link, in fairness to them, they would have highlighted this last year as well. And when they did, we took their concerns on board. And I'd say we, I'm talking about myself, Donegal County Council, to try to ensure that we would have these lines down now before the summer season, so that the type of things that were happening last year wouldn't happen this year again. But unfortunately, they're happening, and as I said, yesterday was the first big test. You know, the local link is an excellent service and it's absolutely fantastic. But the other thing that I really concerns me and that worries me most of all is the fact that the emergency services will not be able to, you know, access the beach with the way these people are abandoning their cars on the, you know, at the big white bay's roof. It's just totally unacceptable.
Yeah,
and you know, and I would ask people, I'm sure there'll be many people there today again, I would ask people to act responsibly and please do not be parking your cars on the double yellow lines. After I've spoken with you again here this morning, I intend to I'm going to Lifford this morning to a council meeting, and I will hopefully be speaking with the local authority, the Donegal County Council, the road section of Donegal County Council when I go there today, again to see what else can be done to try to alleviate this problem. It's a very serious one.
Do we know?
Serious from the point of view of something were to happen on the beach. You know, I will also be speaking to the Gardaí today as well and ask them to have a presence in the area. And I just hope from what happened yesterday that there were a number of names taken, of photographs taken of cars that were parked illegally, and hopefully they will be fined, be prosecuted, because this is the only other way that I can see that this could possibly work. And it's something that I will have to investigate, and I will speak to the local authority about it, do we have to go down the route of having to clamp these cars, and who does that, and who takes responsibility for it? Those are things that I have to find out now and see. But that's something that you don't really want to be doing. You would like people to act responsibly. And unfortunately, Donna Marie, they're not doing that at the moment. Yesterday, as I say, was the first big test, and it has failed miserably. People were just, you know, people just were totally irresponsible in the way they abandoned their cars yesterday, and it's just not good enough. You know, we go as a local authority, put those double yellow lines there for a reason. We ask the motorists to respect those yellow lines, and that hasn't happened. So we're going to have to look at some other avenue of trying to sort this issue out, sort it out.
That's just what I was going to ask, Martin. Because this is the first time the double yellow lines have been there, there's been sort of no, I suppose, loophole for a better word. Do we know, was there any fines issued, or if there was authorities down there yesterday?
Well, I don't know that this morning. It was brought to my attention. I'd heard about part of it yesterday evening. And as I said, I will be ringing the Gardaí today. I was told that there was Garda presence in the area. You know, hopefully there was. But I will be asking the Gardaí today to try to have a presence in that area today and to take whatever steps need to be taken in relation to this. And, you know, and fines will be issued, whether it's here in Donegal or in Northern Ireland or whatever the case may be, the fines will be issued. And that's, you know, what I've been told by the Gardaí. They will be followed up on. But as I said, it's a difficult one to get a handle on, really. The local authority have done as much as they possibly can at the moment in putting the double yellow lines there. The Gardaí have given an assurance that they will be taking steps to fine people if they don't abide by the rules of the road. So, as I said, I'll be following up on it today when I go to Lifford. I have to be there this morning for around 9:30 for a meeting. So I will be speaking to some council officials in relation to this today when I get there to Lifford. And again, we'll be in touch with the Gardaí and to see what can be done in relation to this matter.
That's Councillor Martin Farron, and he said there he is in a meeting now in Lifford at the moment, and if he has any further updates for us, he will get in touch with either the show or the newsroom, and will of course keep you informed. Just in relation to Downings, whenever we're kind of on the topic of beaches, hi, a concerned resident from Downings in regard to the two seemingly organised on social media get together for young people on Downings Beach from Northern Ireland at the weekend. The beach was littered with bottles, cans, takeaway rubbish, etc., and just their cars. They were drinking constantly, driving erratically, abusing local residents, and on Sunday the beach had to have restricted access, which in the end stopped families and water sports people who normally use the beach. Can the council not do anything to use the gate that was installed 2 years ago to be closed at night to try and stop this madness? The sunshine does bring out, I think, maybe out of the ordinary behaviour, and we'll just take another comment here and then I'm going to go to Malcolm Thompson. So, morning, in relation to the cars parked on double yellow lines, on the spot clamping, end of, hit them in the pocket. And then there's questions being raised there with who is responsible for that. Who is responsible for that clamping? Now, on line one, we have Malcolm Thompson, who is the chair of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association in Donegal. Malcolm, good morning. Your warning about the new CAPS legislation that's scheduled to begin in January, but it may have an impact on farm succession transfers. I suppose, can you explain what that means for us here in Donegal?
Well, in Donegal, a lot of the land that farmers farm is rented land. It's either leased or it's on what we call the 11-month basis. And so if CAP comes in where that is not allowed to be taken into consideration for farm payments, well, then it would have a devastating effect on premiums that farmers are getting for their produce and for their land if the rented land is not allowed to be included. We don't know if that's the case yet, but we are hoping that it certainly doesn't come our way, because it would be very, very upsetting for farmers.
It does sound like it will be quite upsetting for farmers. How will this work, I suppose, in reality, or what feasible steps can be taken by farmers now today to try and alleviate that?
Well, there are really no steps that farmers can take. The only way that this can be changed or altered is by the Minister of Agriculture making his voice heard in Europe, and by making a very strong case for the Irish situation. In other countries, land is generally owned by the farmers who farm it, or on a long-term lease. And Ireland is, particularly in Donegal, a lot of it, what we call conacre, is being used. And if this regulation is brought into force, that there is nothing that farmers can do. I mean, obviously, they can't go out and buy the land to have it regularised.
Why is it that we're different here in the Northwest?
I suppose we have small holdings in the Northwest, and a lot of dairy farmers will rent land from other farmers who would have scattered holdings. And I think that in the Northwest, the small holdings would be a large contributing factor.
Malcolm, it seems like it's getting more and more difficult to farm in Ireland. So it does. It's a lot of younger people are being put off.
Well, a lot of people, younger people, are being put off. There is a big problem with farm succession, in that many farms, the young people simply don't want to inherit the farm, even though it's a very valuable asset for them. And what I did understand is that 50% of the farmers in Donegal have not as yet even made a will. And I think that is very important to bring to their attention, that how important it is to make a will, because if you make a will, at least you have indicated to those who come after you what your intentions are regarding your land. It's not always easy to sit down and do that, especially when you don't have a clear successor to the land. So I think that farmers should be encouraged to look about making a will, especially to take taxation advice regarding the implications of what their decision is. And if I could give you one example of that.
Yes.
For example, if a farmer decides, well, my son's not really interested in farming, but the grandson is quite interested, I'll just leave the farm to him. Now, the difference in taxation is humongous, because from father to son, the threshold is 400,000 tax-free for capital acquisitions tax, the threshold of 400,000. If that young son qualifies for agricultural relief, that will actually increase the amount that he can inherit to €4 million. And with the value of land, it's quite conceivable that a farm could be worth €4 million. Now, if he decides, if the farmer decides, well, I'm going to bypass the son and leave it to the grandson, the threshold for that comes back down to, I think it's about 33,000-35,000. So that is a significant difference in
large.
The amount of capital acquisitions tax that would be payable.
It is, and a lot of people have just issue with the fact that in general, if whenever you die, you want to leave something for your children or your grandchildren, you should so have the right to do that without feeling that you're going to be burdening them with tax, which for farmers in particular, especially after what you just said, is the case.
Yes. And another little pointer that I would point out to my farmer members here in Donegal is that while it's difficult to bring yourself to making a will, it's important to have that will in place. Not alone is it important to have the will in place, it's important to have maybe a little notebook or some sort of reminder to those who are left behind as what do they do on day two? How do they get access to funds to pay for your funeral? How do they go about things? Where are your accounts stored? All of these little things that somebody will say a week after the funeral, where, I wonder where Dad kept his will. I wonder where his accounts are. I wonder, are his accounts up to date? Does he owe anybody any money? Does anyone owe him any money? All of those things should be readily available to the person who will take charge of looking after the estate of the deceased person.
Malcolm Thompson there, the chair of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association in Donegal. Malcolm, thank you very much for that advice. Hard advice to hear and something that we'd maybe like to push down the line, but nonetheless, it's very important that we look after it. I'll get to the rest of your comments after this break. Today will be another warm and dry and sunny day. Any early low cloud or mist will burn away in the morning with highest temperatures of 22 to 25 degrees. It may be a little cooler near the northeast and east coast with moderate east to northeasterly winds. So just a reminder, if you're out paddleboarding, just like we were told there by the guys at the RNLI, be careful because you will be blown out towards sea. Now, John Farrelly, Chief Executive of the Mental Health Commission, joins me. And John, you are calling out for people who've gone through the child and adolescent mental health services to say what their experience was like so that the service can learn and most importantly improve.
Yes. Thanks a lot, and thanks for the opportunity to speak to your listeners. Yeah, so about we currently regulate inpatient child and adolescent services, but the community services are not regulated. And so we now, under the new Mental Health Act, we will be registering and inspecting those services. And the first thing we want to do is have draft standards that make sure the services are as good as they can be. And really what we want to do is, we now have draft standards in place. And what I want to do is hear from the people who've been through services, their parents, people who refer to services and professionals, to look at our standards, go onto our website and look at our standards and give us feedback.
It's a 6 week long public consultation. I suppose here in Donegal, CAMHS has been under the microscope in relation to understaffing and delays in getting those vital appointments, which is, I imagine, some of the feedback from here is you'll get will be reminiscent of that.
Yeah, well, that's good. We want to hear the feedback. We want to hear people's real lived experience. And that all goes towards shaping what the standards for the services should be. So in the current draft standards, there's a theme called accessibility and equity. Mm. And under that, there are a number of standards. And we want to make sure that people throughout Ireland and the people in Donegal are just as valuable, and the kids in Donegal are just as important as the kids anywhere else, yeah, that they get the same service and they get access to a specialised service that works for that area. Now, I know from going up and down to Donegal, like, it's such a huge county, it doesn't mean that every service will be the exact same, but the standards will allow services to be different depending if you're coming, you know, from the tip from a peninsula in, or if you're in a more urban area like Letterkenny.
I suppose children who may hear this and will want to give their feedback, it's important for them to know that they're not necessarily going to be hurting anyone's feelings, or they're not going to be in trouble if they say that there was things that could have been done better.
No, exactly. So about 14,000 people per year, children and young people, go through the CAM services, and they are the experts. They've been through the service. They can say, for example, if the waiting times need to be smaller, if the type of staffing, for example, because medication is important, absolutely, but other factors are also important. So what have people encountered that they think was good? What have they encountered they think wasn't great? And to give us give us the feedback. And like, we'll be doing this till the end of the summer, and then we'll be bringing in the standards. So I suppose, just to be clear, young people, their families, even GPs, you know, whoever's been referring in, really anyone, if they give us that information, we can then shape the standards which will shape the service.
Perfect, John. And just where can that public consultation be got, and where can they give the feedback?
So even if they just tap into the phone, or if they tap in Mental Health Commission Ireland, our website will come up, but it's mhcirl.ie, and it'll direct them, and they can give detailed feedback by looking at the standards, or general feedback. And really also from the perspective of, if you're living in a rural community, if you're living in an urban community, do the standards give enough based on your experience that we can shape the service? Because as we get these standards right, that's where the money will be invested.
Perfect. John Farley there, Chief Executive of the Mental Health Commission. Time has caught up with me. I want to say thank you to Caroline Orr and Shannon Wilkin for producing and researching the show. And Greg Hughes will be back with you tomorrow. But up next, it's John Breslin on Around the Northwest.